of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path, in the cause of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witness are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You may be seated. As we look in the Psalms here, we see that it's another psalm written of David. And as we would go through Psalms and you would begin to read a lot of them that David has written about trials in his life, and David endured a lot of them. They're about David having to endure some hard things, but at the end of the psalm, David is always rejoicing in God. God's always pulled him out. God's always made a way for him. Not that David's trials had ever ended, but God gave David the strength to get through those trials. And this psalm is the same way. Not really sure what this psalm is written about and the situation that it's written around. There's speculation to a few different things. And I'm not sure if David's in the trial or if he's outside of the trial and looking back. And it could go either way inside of the psalm, but one thing I do know is that David shares some wisdom for us in these verses of encouragement to us and the trials that we may face. David would begin in verse number 1. And he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, you and I, we could put ourselves in David's shoes a lot of times as far as the trials that we face. And we're no stranger to them. You could look at our prayer list and know that people are facing valleys in their life and hard times. Even inside the house of God, people seem to be struggling time and time again with things arising in their life. And David says right here, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, and the Lord is my strength. What David's telling us, he says, in the trials of our life, when a lot of people seem like they get discouraged and they fall out of the house of God, David said, I don't want to be in that position when those trials arise, when those valleys come into my life. He said, I want to be the one that's going to stick with God, and I want to be the one that keeps on serving the Lord. And he says, in the midst of that trial, even though I don't know the situation and the outcome of those trials, David's saying, the Lord is my light and my salvation and my strength. What he means by light is the Lord's guiding his path in the midst of those trials. You and I would often get to those times in our life, and it seems like we get down and we get discouraged, and we question God as to why and what's going on, and it seems like it bogs us down to the point where it's hard to worship. But David's just saying, Lord, I want to continue to worship, and I want to continue to serve you in the midst of what I'm going through. And he says, you're the light that's going to guide me in that trial, to keep me on the path to bring honor and glory to your name. And he goes on and he says, in my salvation. David's not talking about the salvation as far as us being blood bought, but David's talking about a salvation of coming out of the trial on the other side and being safe and sound as a child of God. And then he says, the Lord is my strength. So what David's saying, he said, I may not understand the situation that I'm going through. And I may not understand the deepness and the darkness of the valley. I may not get any answers from the Lord on life's, this side of life as to why God has put me in this situation. But what David's saying is, in the midst of what I'm facing, God's going to guide my path.
and he's going to give me the strength, the serving, the endurance of that trial, and he's going to bring me out on the other side of that trial safe and sound. What we lose focus of a lot of times is when those trials arise, our problems get real big and our God gets real small. But what David's saying is, my God can handle anything that I'm going through in this life. He's just saying, God's already on the other side. He already knows the outcome. Everything that I may face in this life, God knew about it before I was even a thought down here in this world. I want to tell you, God can handle our problems and our situations. And then David says, behind both of those statements, he says, whom shall I fear and whom shall I be afraid? David's just saying, there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to concern you in the midst of those trials. You know what those are for the child of God? They're to help us grow. They're to help us get close unto God. It may not seem like it. It may seem like they're going to destroy us. It may seem like it's going to tip our little ship over and put us underwater. But in the midst of everything that we're going through, God's using it to draw us nigh unto Him so that we can be a shining light for Him. When we get to life's other side, it's going to amaze us what all God's put us through to help us grow as a child of God. But David said, there's nothing to fear. In the midst of the darkest valley I'll ever face, there's nothing going to overtake me. You know, God bestows mercy and grace upon a lost and a dying world. But think about how much more special we are as a child of God. How much more grace and how much more mercy that He'll extend to us to keep us serving and honoring Him. He would go on down in the verse number 2. David says, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me, and in this will I be confident. What David's saying in verse number 2, he said those enemies are coming, it seems like from every direction. It may be a physical trial for David of somebody coming to overtake his life, as he's talked about in other Psalms. But we could relate it to us as far as a spiritual sense and the sense that David talks about his heart in verse number 3 of the foes that are coming to overtake us. Whether it's a trial physically or whether it's a trial emotionally or whether it's a trial spiritually, David's just saying those enemies are going to come and they're going to try to devour us and they're going to try to destroy the life that we have. But David's just saying with confidence, there's not one that's ever got to me, and there's not one that's ever going to get to me. He's just saying they've all stumbled and failed when they come to God. Do you know, as a child of God, that we're under His wing? David says it many times throughout the Psalms. There is nothing that can get to me. There is no evil, there is no trial, there is no tribulation that'll ever touch my life unless God has already okayed it to come into my midst. God is in control of everything that I'll face as a child of God. But he says, though the host should encamp against me. He's talking about a whole multitude that's coming around. I'm not sure if David's talking about an army here or if he's just talking about one after another as you see some people have to endure. But what David's saying, he says, as they all come against me, he said, my heart shall not fear. When David's talking about his heart, he's talking about when those trials are coming in, that they're trying to drive a wedge in between me and God. And they're trying to stop me from serving God, and they're trying to get me discouraged from serving the Lord. And you see it a lot of times in the house of God. Somebody will face something in their life, and they'll not darken the doors of the church ever again. But what David's saying is in the midst of those things, he's sitting there trying to destroy my heart. He said, Lord, keep me close unto you. And draw me nigh unto you so that I may serve and do your will. And he says, I can say all this with confidence, that in the midst of whatever's coming to destroy me, and these two verses that he's talking about, that God's going to be my light, my salvation, and my strength in the midst of that trial. David would go on in verse number 4 through verse number 6, not changing the subject, but kind of changing the tone of what's being said. And he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. What David's just saying in verse number 4 through verse number 6, he's just saying, no matter what I go through and what I may face in this life, no matter how deep a valley I may walk through, no matter how much it seems like I'm beaten, battered from the trials, he's just saying, God, I want to draw nigh unto you. He said, my heart's desire is to be close in the midst of whatever I may face. He says, Lord, he said, I want to be in the tabernacle. I want to be around the house of God. I want to be around the things of God. I want to feel the touch of God in the midst of those trials. Too often times we fall away from God when those hard times come in our life. But David's just saying, Lord, I don't want to fall away. But instead, I want to draw nigh. He's telling God that he wants to draw nigh, but he's asking God for the help. And he's just saying, God, when I get to that place, and Lord, when I'm in those trials and I'm inside of your will and I'm close unto you, he said, you're going to hide me in your pavilion. He said, hide me around the things of God. He said, basically, you're going to take me underneath your wing and you're going to shelter me, and this world's not going to be able to get to me. No matter how dark the valley may seem, they can't break through that wing that God's got around you and I as a child of God. David's just saying, in the midst of that, and I'm inside of your will, he says, I'm going to see in verse number 4, he said, the beauty of the Lord. He wants to behold the beauty of the Lord. Oftentimes when I'm faced with valleys or when I'm faced with trials, things ain't looking bright. And it seems like you get down and you get discouraged. But instead, David just said, Lord, I want my focus to be on you. No matter what I'm facing, Lord, I want to see you. That's the only thing I want to see, he said, and that beauty that's around about you. He's talking about the mercy and the grace and the loveliness of God. You and I lose focus of that a lot of times in the trials. But David's just saying, that's how I'm going to make it through, is by drawing nigh unto the Lord. But in verse number, the latter part of verse number 5, he says, when I get to that place, when I begin to draw near unto God in those times, he said, the Lord's going to take me and set me up upon a rock. You can think about what a rock would be. Say, one tall as me and everybody's standing around and you get up on that rock, what's going to happen? You're no longer looking eye level to everything that's around you, but instead you're a little bit higher. You can see a little bit farther and you got a better outlook of what's going on. So what David's just saying is, Lord, in the midst of those trials, if I'm in your will and I'm seeking you and I'm trying to serve you, not that I'm going to be out of it at the drop of a hat, but Lord, you set me up on that rock spiritually speaking, and there's going to be just a little bit of glimmer of hope that I'm going to be able to fixate my eyes on. I'm no longer going to be looking directly at my problems, but Lord, my focus is going to be directly on you. As a child of God, that's where we got to be. If not, we're going to suffer. Have you ever seen people that seem like they go through trials and it seems like they just bogged down? They still come to the house of God, but they're just bogged down and they can't do anything for the Lord. That's people that's not pushing to cling unto God. David's just saying with confidence here, if we try to serve God, if we get close to Him, the Lord's going to be there. He's not going to push us away and He's not going to back off from us, but He's going to be there. In verse number 6, in the latter part of it, he says, because of what you're going to do there, Lord, when I draw nigh unto you, he says, therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. David right here still in the midst of what he's been going through, but he's no longer bogged down. He's no longer dealing with the thoughts that he may have had before. But instead David said, I'm just going to sing unto you, Lord. I'm just going to praise you and I'm just going to thank you for what you're doing for me. Still going through what he's been going through, but instead he's got just a different outlook on what's going on. I tell you, there's going to be things that you face in your life. If you sit down and you focus on those things, it's going to cause you to throw up your hands and quit. You're going to walk away. You're going to get too discouraged. You're not going to be able to explain it. You're not going to be able to understand it. But David's saying, it's okay if I don't understand. It's okay if I can't explain it. I'm just going to keep serving God and keep on pressing on to bring honor and glory to Him. And he's saying, in the midst of those dark hours, he said, I can still sing praises unto the Lord and rejoice because of who He is. He would go on in verse number 7. He says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. What David's talking about in these verses, verse number 7 through verse number 9, David saying in the verse 4 through 6 that, Lord, I'm going to try to serve you. I'm going to strive to serve you. Lord, my desire and longing is to get close unto you. And then in verse number 7 through verse number 9, he said, Lord, my desire to serve you, I want you to show me everything about you. Lord, I want you to reveal yourself in the midst of the dark hours that I'm in my life. Lord, I desire to see your face. And when he's talking about a face, when you see people talk about a face inside the will of God, they're talking about finding God's will in their life. So David's saying, when I cry out with the voice unto you, Lord, he said, Lord, I want you to reveal unto me the will that you have for my life. He said, Lord, don't hide that from me. He said, but Lord, show me what I need to do to be able to worship you in the midst of the trial. David knows full well that he can't make it through by himself. He can't make it through on his own. He's got to know God's will for his life. A lot of Christians struggle with God's will. I mean, they don't know it. They don't understand it. But what David's saying and what I can catch from everything that's in this chapter, if you want to know the will of God for your life, you better be getting close to Him. If you're not, you're never going to know and you're never going to understand in the pathways that He leads you in this life. But He says, reveal thy face unto me. And then He says in verse number 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. The father being the one that gives guidance. The mother being the one that will give comfort. But David's saying, I don't know if his mother and father's already died. I don't know that situation, but what he's saying here is when those trials arise that nobody else knows, nobody else can understand, nobody else can identify with, nobody inside the house of God can really come around you, put an arm around you and say, I understand what you're going through, because they've never been through it. They can't give you the words of wisdom to help you out. They can't give you the comfort that you need. David says, when I get to those spots, he said, the Lord's going to be there. He said, He's going to be my father that's going to guide me. And He's going to be like a mother that's going to comfort me. He knows what I'm going through. He knows how to give the guidance. He knows how to give the comfort. He knows how to identify with each and everything that I face in my life. God is the one we've got to rely on. I'm going to tell you, I can only get so much comfort from anybody inside the house of God. I love you. I pray for you. You're my church family. But only so much comfort can come from y'all. The rest of it has to come from my Lord. If it wasn't for Him, we wouldn't make it through these trials. David's just saying, we've got to rely on God. We've got to draw nigh unto Him. We've got to worship Him. Find His will for our life. And He's going to be there each and every step of the way. Verse number 11. David says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witness are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. What he said in these two verses, he's asking God for mercy upon his life. He's just saying, Lord, can you help me? Lord, can you lead me in that plain path? Can you make it easy for me in the midst of the trial that I'm in? Can you clear the way? Can you keep it where I can keep serving you? And honoring and glorifying you no matter what I go through. Lord, can you hide me from those enemies? Can you shield me from the worst of the trial? Can you make things just a little bit easier on me so that I can keep serving? I want to tell you, that's not a wrong thing to ask God. God desires our praise. God desires our worship. And that's what David's saying here. He said, Lord, can you help me just to keep worshiping you? And can you help me just to keep serving you no matter what I face in this life? He goes on in verse number 13. And he says, I had fainted unless I believed you see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David's just saying, if it had not been for God, if it had not been for the hand of the Lord, if it had not been for the mercy that's been given unto me, he said, I wouldn't have made it this far. He said, those trials would have made me collapse. And what I believe David's talking about, I don't think it's physical, but I think it's something spiritual. He just said, Lord, if it had not been for you, he said, I wouldn't be serving you right now. If you had not given me the strength during the midst of that trial, he said, Lord, I would have given up hope and I would have threw my hands up and I'd have been done. But David just said, Lord, I need your help in order to stay where you would have me to be as a child of God. I wonder how many of us in the midst of our valleys are asking God just in the midst of it, Lord, I'm not asking you to take it away. I'm asking you to help me give glory to you in the midst of it. Most of us are begging God to change things. But David's just saying, don't worry about the changing things. Just worry about a serving God. And the rest of it's going to work out. He leaves us in verse number 14 with a thought. Be forever child of God. He says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know what David's saying here? He said, just because you call on God doesn't mean that God's going to be there at the drop of a hat and fix everything the way that you want it to be. But he's saying, be patient. God knows. God understands. And there may be some things that we got to endure. And I know there's times that it seems like we're going through trials. And it seems like you're calling upon God. And it seems like God ain't 1,000 miles around. Seems like you can't get a hold of him. It seems like you can't get a word uttered out that he would hear. But then you just wait a little while longer. Just try to keep serving. Just keep pushing on. And then God reveals himself. God makes it a little bit sweeter. And then you get out on the other side of the valley and you see how God's helped you to grow. And how God's helped you to worship him. David said, we got to be patient as a child of God. He's there every step of the way. Whether I see his hand or whether I don't, God's there every trial and every valley that I face. David said, wait on him. He said, while you wait, be of good courage. He said, don't get down and out. Don't give up on God. Don't quit serving him. He said, just be of good courage. Keep doing what you're supposed to do. And it says, he will strengthen thine heart. Give you the strength that you need to make it through the trial. Give you what you need to endure to keep on serving him. To be a light unto a lost and a dying world. And then again, he says, wait, I say, on the Lord. I believe David puts an emphasis on that, said it twice. He said, be patient. God's there. He may not be working yet, but God's there. He knows the need. I want to tell you, as a child of God, the hardest thing that we'll ever have to do is wait for God. Wait on him to move. Wait on him to work. Sometimes it seems like God ain't never going to move in situations. But I promise you, God's going to move. God's already got a plan. God's already seen the other side of it. We've got to just trust in him. And give him praise, honor, and glory in the midst of all of our trials. I'm going to have him come around and play one verse invitation. I don't know. Maybe you need to talk to the Lord and see about something you're going through. Maybe it's just a word of encouragement in order to help you keep going on in the midst of what you may face. Whatever it is, I'd listen and obey him.